Well, you know, Mark and I just met Ed and Michelle a few years ago through Hillsong Conference, pretty much Hillsong Network, and we'd have a cup of tea and have a chat. And then about 2 years ago, they came over to Berlin and we got to hang out with them. And then Mark was here a year or so ago, and here I am again. So it's a real honor and privilege to actually have started this relationship and just building a friendship with your pastors. They love you. They talk about you all the time. They love you, they believe in you, and they know that God has a plan and purpose for your life, and they are determined to do their part in bringing that out. So you've got pastors that absolutely love you, and I pray that you never take them for granted. They're gold. They're absolutely precious people. And so really, really want to honor both of you for what you're doing here, and just believe that your best days are ahead. It's just the beginning. Your best days are ahead, and I believe that your impact is going to be greater than you could even think or imagine. So be encouraged. Be encouraged to keep going for it. So today, you know, it is Mother's Day, and the girls have done a beautiful job of dancing for us, and the band have done a beautiful job, and we've received the flowers, and it's wonderful because we're honoring mothers. So I thought today it would be a great opportunity for me to just share for a few moments on family. Yeah? So that's what I'm going to do. If you want me to share on anything else, I'm sorry, but these are the notes that I've got this morning. You know, all of us can relate to family because all of us are someone's child. I am my parents' daughter, and I always will be. It doesn't matter how old I get, I will always be their daughter. My son is with me, which is lovely to have you, Isaac, with me, and Isaac will always be my son. It doesn't matter if he's, you know, 101, and if I'm still here on planet Earth, and even if I've gone to be with heaven, he will always be my son. So we can all relate to family, no matter what situation we are in, whether we have our parents alive or not. And you know, families come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? My parents are from the Fiji Islands, and my parents immigrated to England in the 60s, and my dear mother is one of 14. 14, yes, I know. Her mother was pregnant all the time, she said, when she was growing up. And my mother is seventh in the 14 mark. So they come in all shapes and sizes. You know, quite a lot of my kids in their school, they've got friends who are just one child per family. But there we go, all sorts of shapes and sizes. My father was one of seven. I have 54 cousins. Wow. Yeah, 54 cousins. Don't ask me to name them all because I couldn't, and they do not all get Christmas cards, believe you me. But I have 54 cousins. So some families, as we know, they can be healthy. Some families are unhealthy. Some are functioning well, some are not functioning well. Some families and children were wanted and some were unwanted. Some were planned and some were surprises. Yes? Surprises. But one thing we can definitely know for sure is that God is into families. It was his idea from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27, it says that God created the first family unit, which was Adam and Eve. And God's plan with family was and always will be that we have a relationship with him and also with each other. But you and I know that the first family on planet Earth was under attack from the outset. From the very beginning. And in Genesis 3, we see that the first family was deceived. They were deceived in replacing God and their relationship with God with self. We see how they elevated themselves higher than God. And you know, church, whatever we elevate, we worship. And we were created to worship God, full stop. So when this family elevated themselves higher than God and replaced God with themselves, that was the beginning of their demise. Their will and their way became priority rather than God's will and God's way. It was a complete opposite to what God had intended for mankind. It was the enemy's plan from the beginning to destroy the first family. And you know, today it's actually the same. It is his intent to destroy the family. And, you know, governments and organizations today are at a loss as to what is going on with families. And they've actually done a lot of research. And I want to read some of the quotes that have been delivered by the relate.org organization concerning families. Now, when I share these quotes, they are in no way to condemn anybody, because let's face it, we're all on a journey. And I know that Mother's Day and sometimes Father's Day is a very it's a very painful experience for many people, because not everybody has a joyous experience of mother or father. They have memories that are painful. So we're very mindful of that. But what I want to bring to the table is what our world has to say about families. So it's not to condemn. It's not to condemn, because we have Jesus Christ, the hope of glory within us. And he is the one that can restore any broken relationship. Amen? So this is what Relate.org has to say. Quote one. Stable families are the first unit in building unified communities and a stable society. Quote two, family breakdown is a private tragedy, but on a wider scale is also a matter of public concern. It goes on to say that family breakdown contributes to a wide variety of social problems, causing distress for individuals, families, and communities. Then it goes on to say, thus the need to give particular interest to this issue is immediate, because it is society as a whole who would be adversely affected if this issue is not resolved. How incredible that today's quotes from government research-based organizations are confirming what God put into place back in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, that family is vital, that it is important, that it is necessary, and that family is God's idea. And you know, just as a natural family is God's idea, I want to share today also on God's idea for our spiritual family. The spiritual family. Because if you and I have made our peace with Jesus Christ, we are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. In actual fact, when I was growing up in church, everybody that was older was our uncle and auntie. And all of our family, you just call them uncle and auntie, because it's disrespectful to call them by their first name. So when Mark came into the family, my brother-in-law gave him good advice. He said, anybody that's older than you, just call them uncle and auntie and you'll be fine. Remember, there's like a lot of uncles and aunties. So he did, who's uncle, who's auntie, who's not who? And my brother-in-law said, just call all of them uncle and auntie and you'll be fine. So we're calling everybody uncle and auntie from the family. We're calling everybody uncle and auntie from the church. And my mom and dad used to call people brother and sister. Do you remember those days? We're family. Because yeah, we don't share the same natural blood, but we share the same heavenly father. And you know, Romans 8 verse 15, it shows us how we are adopted into the family of God. Romans 8 verse 15 says, we have received the spirit of adoption where we can call out, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same older brother, Jesus Christ. And we have the same Holy Spirit dwelling in you and dwelling in me. There is something so powerful when we get together that the world cannot have, because they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. But you and I do. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and dwells with me and within me. And there is such a bond that comes as a result of that, which is why you can meet people and feel like you're family already. It's why you can walk into somebody's home, like I've walked into Ed and Michelle's home, and I just feel at home. And there's something that comes with that bond, and I pray that we'll just get a revelation of what a precious gift we have within each other. Something, the word fellowship is a word that means that there's something that comes about only because of the Holy Spirit's presence. And he's in you and he is in me. So we have this wonderful Heavenly Father. We have the same older brother, Jesus, and the same Holy Spirit. And just like we have been born into a natural family, which may I add, we don't have a choice about. We've been born into a natural family. We've also been born into a spiritual family, which we do have a choice about where we get planted. And let me tell you, I think that Valley Church is a jolly good place to be planted. It's a jolly good place to say, that is my family. That is my spiritual family. But what I also want to say about our natural family is that, you know, there's only four of us in mine. There's my husband, my kids, and two dogs. And I just have to say, you know, ask the question, are we perfect? Well, even if I told you we were perfect, my son would soon jump up and say, no, that's not true. Mom, Dad, we're not perfect. We are not perfect. Will we always agree? No, we do not always agree. My husband is so different to me. I was telling the girls yesterday, like, you know, he loves adventure, I like romance. And his idea of romance is that they were holding hands as they jumped off the building with a blaze going on in the background, you know. That we'll watch a movie. Where's the romance? I'll say, yeah, did you not see them holding hands as they jumped off the building? That's Pride and Prejudice. We are so different. Pride and Prejudice is my cup of tea. And his is like things blowing up. We don't agree even on some other things. We don't always agree. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree. We're just not going to agree on this. Do we get it wrong? Yes, we jolly well do get it wrong. We don't try to. I don't wake up in the morning and say, let's see how many times I can get it wrong and really annoy my family. I don't do that. But do we get it wrong? Yes, we do. Do we misunderstand and miscommunicate? Yes. But are we still family? Yes, we are. And you know what? It's the same with our spiritual family. It's absolutely the same. Is your spiritual family perfect? No, because we're not perfect. The only one that was perfect is Jesus Christ. Will we always agree with everyone or the decisions that have been made? No, we won't. We won't. Will we get it wrong? Will your pastors get it wrong? Will you get it wrong? Yes, we will. We tell our church there's no perfect people allowed, and if you're perfect, you'll have to leave. Because we're not here. We're here, yes, we're growing to be more and more like Jesus, but we have to have grace for each other. We have to have grace, and we have to stop pretending that we're perfect. Because let's face it, we all know we're not. So you have somebody pretending that they're perfect, and you go, we know you're not perfect. Let's just be open with each other. Let's be gracious and merciful with each other. Will we get it wrong? Yes. Will we misunderstand and miscommunicate? Yes. But nobody got out of bed in the morning saying, let's do the miscommunicating and the misunderstanding today. Nobody does that, generally. But are you still family? Yes, you are still family. But what I want to share as well is that the good thing is that whilst our natural family may not be perfect, while our spiritual family may not be perfect, the head of our spiritual family is perfect. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is perfect. Perfection. And I just want to bring a few moments to remind us about our wonderful, wonderful, perfect head of the family. So who is this perfect Heavenly Father? He is the one who loved you so much that he gave his only son. We see that in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves us, as we have heard time and time again this weekend. And what is amazing about our Heavenly Father, when you think about Easter is coming up, it's just the biggest date in the Christian calendar. When you think of what our Heavenly Father was willing to do for us, he was willing to change heaven. I remember the time it dawned on me that he actually changed heaven. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. That was a massive thing that he was willing to do. He was willing to change heaven for you, for me. How much are we willing to change to be an extension of what the message is all about? To get out of our comfort zone, to actually step into the things that we can be part of, to bring about a change in our homes and in our cities. He was willing to change heaven. That amazes me. God gave us the finest heaven had to give. He could have given us an angel. He could have said, go on, Gabriel, off you go. No, he gave us the finest heaven had to give. How wonderful is the love of our Father, this unconditional love, our perfect Heavenly Father who accepts us just as we are. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. You don't have a shower to get into a bath, or you don't have a bath so you know, can have a shower. He's not saying clean your act up before you come. He says, come as you are and allow me, as you come into my presence during praise and worship, as you come into my presence when the word is being spoken, allow me to change you. You know, we are not the changes of people. We can be agents of change, but we are not the changes of people. It's God, our Heavenly Father, that changes people. He's the one that's going to change you if there's things in your life that are holding you back. As you are in his presence and as you are humbled, as you humble yourself and you come into his presence, He will transform you from the inside out. So often we just want to figure out the externals. No, God's saying, let me work on you internally, because what's internal will actually grow and eventually show fruit on the outside. Amen? This unconditional love, and He accepts us just as we are. Our perfect Heavenly Father is one that will believe in us. He believes in you. He will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. He believes in you. He will always be there. And He forgives us of all of our sins. Our Heavenly Father who's given us a hope and a future. How wonderful. So who is this perfect older brother? I hope you're going to get excited and you're going to go out encouraged when you know who this perfect older brother is. Jesus Christ, our beautiful Lord and Savior, who left the splendor of heaven and the worship of angels to come to the earth He created in the most humble of forms. And not only that, He's the older brother that said, Heavenly Father, I will go. I will go. He chose to come. He was asked and He chose to come. He said, I will go. I will find my lost brothers and sisters and I will bring them home. You know, when you read in the prodigal story, if many of you will know of it, the father is there. But there's two, and there's a son that goes away and there's a son that stays home. But when you read the two parables before, it's the woman with the lost coin and it's the shepherd with the lost sheep. And in the coin and the sheep situation, somebody went after them. But you know, when you see the prodigal son and you hear the story, the older brother was the one that was supposed to go after the younger brother and bring him home. And he didn't do it. But thank God we have an older brother called Jesus in heaven who left his home and he came here to the earth to actually come and to get us and to bring us home. And if you don't know Jesus right now, we're going to give you an opportunity to make your peace with him, because he is here this morning and you are here and you're not here by chance. You are here because he is drawing you. He's drawing you. He wants you home. This wonderful older brother whose complete and perfect work on the cross has removed all of our sins. Removed all of our sins. And boy, are we going to celebrate in a few weeks' time at Easter. You know, church, Easter is the biggest date in the Christian calendar. And in Berlin, we've got this, we're on a campaign and we call it Reclaim Easter. Because when we first went there, nobody was around for Easter. You know, we live in a city of 3.5 million people, and less than 5,000 people will be found in the house of God today. And so we are on a mission, and those that are found in the house of God, they all go on holiday Easter. So when we discovered that, moving there 7 years ago, we said, okay, we're on a campaign to reclaim Easter. And we're doing everything we can to reclaim Easter, to have the children of God in the house of God to celebrate the risen Savior. Amen? So pray for us. We would really, really appreciate your prayers. You know, right now we're meeting in the cinema, but, you know, that's not going to work out anymore. You are so blessed. I was saying to Michelle, oh my days, you are so blessed to have a venue. I pray you never take for granted what you have here and what you are to the community here. You know, we're like gypsies at the moment. And to be honest, we're the tail, not the head. But we're believing that we will have our own property. We will have our own place, and we will be the head and not the tail. And we'll be able to do what you do, actually bless our community with a venue. So if you can agree with us, we will be so grateful. We will be so grateful. So we're on a mission to reclaim Easter, because this is what our older brother did. He was punished so we could be forgiven. Amen. He was wounded so that we could be healed. This is our older brother. This is our Savior. He was made sin so we could be made righteous, which means right standing with God, where we can come boldly before His throne and cry out, Abba, Father. This is what our perfect older brother did for us. He became an enemy of God. Can you imagine having never been away from the presence of God? That on that cross, he was separated from his Heavenly Father. He became an enemy of God so that you and I could become friends of God. This is our perfect older brother, the one who was cursed so we could be blessed. The one who took our poverty, spirit, soul, and body, so that we could be rich in spirit, soul, and body. The one who took our shame so that we could receive his goodness and his mercy and walk free, just like the songs we've been singing this morning. He was the one that was rejected so that you and I could become joint heirs. How out of our league are we? Oh my gosh, Kate, this is just too good. Jenny, Kat, everybody, this is to all the girls that I knew. This is too good. This is too good. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And yet he is the one who saved us. He's the one that did the work. He's the one that paid the price. Yet we get to walk in the benefits and the privilege. Man, it's crazy good. No wonder we sing. No wonder we shout. No wonder we dance and clap. We've got something to rejoice about. Our older brother, it was his death and resurrection that has enabled us to have everlasting life. He's perfect. And you know, right now he's praying for you and I. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. The older brother who said he will never leave us and never forsake us, but he would be with us till the very end, the very end. And I don't know where we're living in the equation of Jesus coming back, but I know sometimes I think, oh gosh, is this the end? But what I do know, even though I don't know when the end will be, what I do know is Jesus Christ said he will be with us till the end. And you know, he's the older brother who said when he left and went back to heaven, having accomplished everything he was sent here to accomplish, he's the older brother who sent the perfect Holy Spirit. Amen. This perfect Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that resides in you and resides in me, whose role is to remind us of the finished work of Jesus Christ, whose role is to remind us of who we are in Christ, not to condemn us, but to remind us of who we are, that we are righteous, that we are complete, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's this Holy Spirit, the seed of which is the fruit of the Spirit that has been deposited into us at new birth, at the new creation. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Oh, my days. Can you imagine if we walked around with all of the fruit of the Spirit emanating out of us? Can you imagine, oh, my days, if Valley Church was known for people who have the fruit of the Spirit operating? You will have people banging on the door trying to get in here. That is a church to be part of. Not a perfect church, but a church that's got love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that helps us get over the imperfections in one another. Amen? Amen. This Holy Spirit, which the Amplified Bible describes so beautifully as the comforter, the counselor, the helper, our advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener. Oh my days, I wonder, do we really know what kind of family we're a part of? This is our family. John 14, verse 26 says, the one who teaches us all things. John 16, verse 13 says about the Holy Spirit, the one who guides us into all truth. Amazing family, amazing family. And you know, our family, this perfect head of our family, has always been about purpose. And in closing, I just want to bring purpose. I want to just bring our attention to the purpose of why we are here. Our Heavenly Father has purpose. God so loved the world, he had a vision that he sent his only Son. He made a decision that whosoever will, choice. He's always been about purpose. And you know, in closing, I want to read 1 Timothy. It's going to come up on the screen, verses 3 to 15 in the Message translation. And this is what God says about the family, you and I. It says here, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth on the earth. Let me read that to you again. So this perfect head of our family that we are the body to. This is what God says about us. God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth on the earth. You know, if you Google church and click images, you won't actually see people, you will see buildings. But church is not buildings. Church is you and I. You and I who've been called out of darkness and positioned in his marvelous, wonderful light. Not just to stay there and have a happy time. We're not here just to get to heaven on our own. We are here to go back into the darkness, whether that is in your workplace, whether that's in your family, whether that's in your school or your college. We're to go back there and we're to shine ever so brightly. That is the purpose of the church. You know, my father passed away in 2013. And I'll tell you what, the reality of heaven became so much stronger for my life. This reality that there were so many heading to a lost and dark eternity. I knew where my father was. And you know, so many things took on a new meaning for me when my father passed away. This reality of heaven, and also the whole thing of praise and worship. Because when I knew and I was praising God and his presence was there, I was in the same presence as my heavenly father. I was in the same presence of my heavenly father and the same presence as my earthly father. Everything just got stronger. What I believed just got stronger when my father passed away. But one of the things that started to really resonate with me even more, and the passion of seeing the lost come home. Because there will be a time, as I said yesterday, where people will exist either in the presence of the love of God or in hell with the absence of the love of God. It's a reality, it's a truth. That is our message. You know, our message is not we all get there in the end. No, our message is there is something to lose and there is something to gain. Why would Jesus have left if there was not something to lose? There was something to lose, but there is something to gain. That is the tension here. And that got stronger and stronger in me. And the desire to see people who don't know Jesus come home, that got stronger in me. And I pray as a church, we will never, in Berlin or here, we will never just get comfortable with us. Don't ever get comfortable with like, I'm secure, my family is secure. There is a lost world to reach. There is a lost world. They're in your back door, your back garden, so to speak. They're here. And you know, if you just got on your heart, just one person, God, help me lead one person to Christ from this time to this time next year. Just one person. If you all went after just one person, one soul, just to love on them, to befriend them, to let them see your light, not to Bible bash them, but just to see the goodness of God working in your life, you will change. You won't have enough room to contain the people here. You'll be doing multiple services and needing bigger buildings. But it's not actually going to necessarily take a move of God. God wants us to move. That's what he wants us to move. So I'm so passionate about seeing the lost come home. Our family, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, has always been about purpose. Always been about purpose. And we're here for such a time as this to fulfill the plans and purposes of God in our generation. And just like you have a natural part to play in your family, we all have a part to play in our church family. Jesus said he would build his church. He didn't say I would build a ministry here or a ministry there, and they're all good things. But what he did say was that he would build his church. Regardless of age, nationality, or culture, he wants to build his church. So I want to encourage you, as I wrap this up this morning, I want to encourage you to attach yourself to an environment that has a greater purpose than your own individual life. And I believe here at Valley Church, you have that. Your vision statement is on the back there. You're part of a church, a local church that has a vision for the community and for the nation in which you are in. You're part of a church that has a heart to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. You're part of a church that places value on others. You're part of a church that wants to speak into the potential of others. You're part of a church that wants to lead people to godly vision for their life and kingdom purpose. You're here to be salt and life to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues. And my prayer as I close right now, and as the worship team come up, is that each of you will take your place in this amazing family. Take your place. Whatever you find in your hand to do, do it. Whether it's something you think is in your gifting or is not in your gifting. You know, just do it. Because as you take what's been asked of you, as you step forward to play your part, you'll find your fit. Sometimes we want to find our fit, then we'll play our part. That's actually not what the Bible says. The Bible says, come on, play your part and I will maneuver you into your fit. Amen. Just take your place. Be part of God's solution for planet Earth, because you and I all know that our world needs a solution. And I believe as we do this and as we remind ourselves of what and who our perfect family, what perfect, the head the perfect head of our family is and everything the head of our family has to offer us. And I believe as we focus on that and as we meditate on that and it starts to transform us from the inside out, and we become about our Heavenly Father's business. And let me tell you, you do not need a title to be about your Heavenly Father's business. You just need to be about your Heavenly Father's business. You know what He wants to do. Just be about His business. Make the teachings of our Lord and Savior, our beautiful Lord and Savior, attractive to this lost and broken world. And I believe that we will see people that you want to see in the kingdom of God. I do believe they will be standing next to you. But you know, I think I said this to Isaac last week when the tragedy with London. The world is such a mess. And sometimes I think to myself, Jesus, just come home. Just come and take us home. On the odd occasion, I go, just come and take us home. But then I go, no, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet, because we have not yet reached the people. And I believe that God is waiting on the church. He's waiting on you and I who know the answer to actually rise up and be all that He has asked us to be. And I sincerely believe that when we have done what we need to do in His strength and in His power and His name, then one day our Heavenly Father will turn to Jesus and say, now go home, go and bring them home.